Good morning and welcome to Hear the Word for this Mother's Day Sunday, May 12, 2024. Hear the Word is a ministry of First Baptist Church in Lock Haven, sponsored by Hear the Birds Hearing Aid Center and the Thomas Foy Agency, both also located in Lock Haven. In a moment, we will hear the Word from a message previously delivered at First Baptist Church exploring the heart of a mother found in Jesus from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. But first, let's enjoy this inspirational music together.
Would hold us tight. She whispered, Lord, keep them tonight. And so did we, sleep sound and safe. It must have been my mother's faith. Morning would call, the sun to rise, and open sweet. When summer turned and we had grown, her passing called us woeful home. I kissed her then as there she lay, and now I know my mother's faith, and so does she. Sleep sound and safe. It must have been my mother's faith.
The door. Now he's using imagery here that the people of his day, the people to whom he was speaking, would have readily understood. And perhaps you and I may not quite so readily understand it. So in their day, in that culture, and especially in the regions of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and around there where sheep were so vital to the sacrificial system of Israel, there were some features, some structures that were a part of the architecture, the landscape, both in the cities and or cities and towns and in the countryside. In the cities you had corrals, if you will, or you could also call them sheepfolds. So if a shepherd came into town and with their sheep, they would bring their sheep to the corral, the sheepfold. Now the thing is that these were common gathering points, so to speak. So they were large enclosures, and there would be multiple perhaps herds or flocks of sheep all together in the same corral. So you bring your sheep into the corral, you would entrust them to the, whatever it's called, the corral keeper, the person in charge of it, and you would go do your business, whatever it happened to be, in the town. And then, as Jesus describes here, when you would then come back, you would call for your sheep, and they would hear your voice and follow you out of the sheepfold. And that is a part of the picture that he's using here. Out in the countryside, where there were, of course, predatory animals, critters that looked at your sheep as delicacies for their next meal, in the evenings in particular, they would create these enclosures, sort of like rude corrals or sheepfolds, if you will. Usually they were made out of stone walls with briars that were growing up on them to keep the predators out. And they had an opening through which you would lead your sheep into the sheepfold. And then the shepherds would lay in the opening and therefore function as the door, the gate, if you will, to the sheepfold. And this is exactly what Jesus is speaking of in verse 9 when he says, "I am the door." Now he said previously in verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. So both in the city corrals, you had the person who was in charge, and when you came back, they would recognize you and allow you to call for your sheep, right, and bring them out. But also in the countryside, you yourself became the door. The point is that the person who's serving in that kind of gatekeeping, we use that expression, right, the gatekeeper, the person who's serving in that gatekeeping capacity is the one who is bringing protection to the sheep, protecting them from the predators, but also protecting them from the thieves and the robbers. And this is exactly what Jesus is explaining here. Jesus, as the door that is the way into safety, in which you are indeed saved, as he says explicitly in these passages, these verses, the way into safety, Jesus is the sole means to enter into a relationship, a reconciled relationship with God the Father. This is exactly what he's speaking of. In fact, if you notice, again, there in verses 11 through 13, where he speaks of himself as the good shepherd. And he goes on to explain that what the good shepherd does, in contrary to the hireling, what the good shepherd does is he lays down his life for the sheep. Well, again, in the countryside sheepfolds, he does it in a literal sense when he's sleeping in the opening to become the barrier, the gate between the security, the safety of the sheepfold and the predators outside. But he's also the one who confronts the predators, right? Who protects his sheep from them. And so this is Jesus. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd, verse 11, gives his life for the sheep. Now, obviously, when Jesus made that statement, he was pointing to the fact that he would literally give his life for the sheep. One of my favorite scripture passages. He who knew no sin would become sin for us, as is Paul puts it in his letter to the Galatians, he is cursed for us. He receives the judgment for the sin that belongs to us, that we deserve. He received it upon himself and so satisfied the justice of God, making it possible for God to reconcile the one who believes in Jesus, who embraces him with faith as their Lord and Savior, making it possible for that reconciliation, the restoration of an actual, vibrant, living relationship with God the Father. This is what Jesus is speaking of here as the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep, and notice it's for their protection. He speaks again in verse 12, as I mentioned a moment ago, about the hireling, the hired hand, who does not own the sheep. Their only allegiance is to the compensation that they receive. And so that is why the hireling, verse 13, flees, because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, cares for the sheep because they belong to him. They are his sheep. Which is also, by the way, why, as he spoke earlier, when he returns to the corrals in the city And the gatekeeper there says, recognizes him and says, yeah, go ahead, call for your sheep. Why, he can call for his sheep by name. Again, we'll come back to this in a moment. He can call for them by name. And he describes how they will recognize his voice. And they are the sheep who will respond to him. If you've never seen the movie Babe, you need to watch it first of all. Picture in the movie where Babe is in that tournament, and he doesn't understand the dialect of the sheep that are being used. And so the sheepdog have to run back to their own sheep and ask them for this secret passcode. Ba, ram, you, right? Remember that? And then come back, and Babe gains the audience of the sheep. In other words, they begin to recognize his voice, so to speak. He's safe. He's okay. Well, in this case, the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. They follow him. They don't recognize the voice of the thief because he's a stranger to them. Speaks of the intimacy that Jesus has with those who are his own. So he protects as the door, the way into safety. Jesus is the sole means to enter into a reconciled relationship with God, therefore bringing protection, salvation. As the shepherd, he gives his life for his sheep. Notice also verses 17 and 18, which I did not read, where Jesus said, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but notice this, I lay it down of my own self. In other words, of his own accord, willingly, he willingly becomes the sin for us. He willingly receives the judgment, the curse of God that belongs to us upon himself. I do it of myself, he said. I have the power to lay it down, the power to take it again. This command I have received from the Father. And so, like a mother, Jesus protects. He cares for us like a mother by protecting us. He has our best interests at heart rather than his own personal interest. And you'll remember that, as the Gospels record for us, just prior to his arrest, Jesus spent hours in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And it's recorded for us that one of the things he asked of the Father in those prayers is that, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Referring, of course, to his eventual arrest, torture, and crucifixion. And included in that, of course, I believe most significantly, is the process, the experience of receiving the judgment, the wrath of God, the curse for our sins upon himself. Jesus asked the Father, if it be possible, let that pass from me. In other words, if it's possible, then don't make me go through this. But you also remember Jesus also said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so this is exactly what we see in Jesus. It wasn't his own personal interests, though he had them, that motivated him. It was his concern for his own people. And many of you in this room this morning have demonstrated that same kind of heart of compassion. You willingly give literally of yourself, your time, your energy, your emotional burdens, so to speak, in the care of your children. And as I said earlier, sometimes as the course of life works out, for the ones who raised you. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of a mother, and it's the heart of a mother because it's the heart of Jesus. Now, this protection, of course, is experienced through personal faith in Jesus. That's where it all begins. You become one of his sheep as you enter into a relationship with him through faith in Jesus. But he protects us, and that's one of the ways that he cares for us like a mother. The second way is that he provides for us. Notice again verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And then he says, and will go in and out and find pasture. The picture here, in this case, is probably, well, it includes both of those sheepfolds, but it probably especially has in mind the ones out in the countryside, where you would come in for the protection in the evening, and then in the morning you would go back out, because if you've never been around one of those things, there's not a whole lot to eat unless what, you know, the farmer brings in and throws inside the fence. There's not a whole lot to eat because of the nature of so many animals in an enclosed space. So you have to go out to find pasture. So as the door, that through which the sheep pass to find pasture, Jesus provides for the needs of his sheep. I remind you of how, as Jesus speaks here in John 10:10, one of my favorite verses in this passage in particular, and from all scriptures, that Jesus is the opposite of the thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, the good shepherd, have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Well, that abundant life is portrayed for us in Psalm 23 that was read at the outset of our service. It spoke of the Lord leading us to green pastures, you know, nourishing feed possibilities for the sheep. And he leads us beside the still waters, the places where their need for water, for drink can be refreshed. Well, that's that picture of the green pastures and the still waters, I think, is the Old Testament, Psalm 23 equivalent, of the abundant life that Jesus speaks of here in John chapter 10 and verse 10. This is what Jesus, as our good shepherd, does for us as he cares for us like a mother. As a shepherd, he makes abundant life possible. Abundant life is life to the fullest. It is life lived as God meant it to be, according to his purpose and its meaning. It's life that is lived, as you'll notice in this passage, knowing and being known by Jesus, by Christ. Look at verses 14 to 16 again. Jesus said there, I am the good shepherd. He said this now like three times in this passage. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by them. He's already indicated this earlier when he spoke about my sheep hear my voice and they respond to me. They won't follow a stranger because they don't know his voice. My sheep, I know my sheep and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And he goes on in verse 16 to speak of the fact that there are other sheep, not of this fold, meaning from the stock of Israel. He's talking about you and me, quite frankly, unless you're of Jewish descent, which I don't know that anyone in this room is. We're all Gentiles. We're the other sheep that Jesus is speaking of there. I have other sheep that I must also call. And notice again that they also will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. So as the shepherd, Jesus again makes abundant life possible for us. That abundant life is knowing and being known by Christ. And I want you to notice, by the way, that Jesus knows his sheep personally in both verses 14 and later in verse 27. He speaks about calling each of his sheep by name. And that was what shepherds would do. In fact, farmers even to this day will give specific names to their livestock, especially like in the dairy industry, I know, from experience working on farms. You give each of those cows a name, and they would bear that name their entire time they were part of your herd. He calls them each by name, he said. And that speaks of the intimacy. You know, there are people that we know in this world in the sense that we recognize their face. I've seen them before, and I know maybe where they're from. But there are other people that we actually know by name, right? And in fact, there are other people that we not only know by name, but we have some shared experiences with them. So the picture here, the description of knowing and calling my sheep by name speaks of the intimacy. It doesn't just, oh, I know who you are, but I know you. It's an intimate relationship. Jesus knows his sheep personally. And notice also he says he knows his sheep perfectly. Consider what he said there in verse 15. He said, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Now this is immediately after he just said, I know my sheep and am known by my own. And I believe this statement of verse 15 about knowing the Father and the Father knowing me speaks of the perfection with which Jesus knows us. In other words, the degree to which the Father and Jesus know each other is the same degree to which he knows you. He knows me. It's not, again, just a vague recollection. I know that person, who they are, where they're from, but I don't really know them well. He knows us personally. He knows us perfectly. And because he knows us, he provides for us because we are his. We belong to him. This is the abundant life that Jesus speaks of this passage. It is the green pasture, Psalm 23, and the still waters that David the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 23. And so I ask you this morning, what is your pasture like? Is it abundant? Is it more than you could ask for? How well do you know the shepherd? Are you intimate with his voice? Do you recognize his leading in your heart and in your life? Are you following him and clinging to him? And perhaps even more importantly, do you even know him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus and therefore with God the Father, in which you are reconciled to him because of your trust in Jesus and his willing sacrifice for you? And if not, would you begin today? And so let me end as I began this morning with the question, who mothers? My answer to you is God does. He does so in Jesus, his Son, our Savior, who wants to mother you and indeed will wonderfully do so as he both protects you and he provides for you, giving you the abundant life that is possible. Father, I pray that you be pleased. Thank you.
graciously sponsored by Hear the Birds Hearing Aid Center in Lock Haven. For excellent guidance and service at prices well below average, call Jeff Bailiff at 570-748-5444. That's 570-748-5444. Thomas Foy Agency, also located in Lock Haven, sponsors this program as well. Tom has been providing life and health insurance, annuities, and Medicare plans for over 40 years. Contact Tom Foy at 570-748-4028. Once again, that's 570-748-4028. We invite you to join us for one or more of our Ministries of the Word here at First Baptist Church. Sunday mornings at 9:30 is our Equipping Hour, providing biblical instruction for life and ministry. Worship in our spacious auditorium is Sunday morning at 10:30, with special instruction provided for children. This service is also available on Facebook Sunday afternoons. Wednesdays at 7, we meet for inspiration and prayer. September through May, seniors 65 and older meet for lunch and biblical encouragement on the third Friday of each month. Jesus would often say, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me encourage you to think carefully about what you have heard today and respond to it accordingly. If you have any questions about what you have heard today, or would like to know more about knowing God through personal faith in Jesus Christ, you may reach us at 570-748-3744. First Baptist Church is located at 210 North Vesper Street in downtown Lock Haven, where you can always hear the word.